extraordinary. The life of a missionary really is on the extraordinary side of things. We've been challenging one another to be extraordinary for Christ, and you don't have to leave your home and go to another part of the world to be extraordinary for Christ, but they did. And the effect of that on me was that it stirred up my heart to love and good works. Okay? Let us consider, says Hebrews 10:24, how to stir up one another to love and good works. So we as a people can be extraordinary because we have an extraordinary Savior. Tim talked about that. He also talked about Elijah and how he served the living God. It was Elijah, right? Not Elisha. He served the living God and calling down fire on that altar. We have that same God that we serve. He's the living God. And our Savior is the one who holds all of everything together. We don't have to hold the world together. We have only to offer up our lives and serve in gratitude. And to hang on to the hope that we have as believers, which is incomparable hope as well, because it's in God's promises. It's not in an air-filled balloon that'll pop and disappoint us in any way. We know God's promises are secure, they are sure, and they will be accomplished. And so turn with me, if you would, briefly now, as we bring this to a close, briefly to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we'll think about how we can be extraordinary through love. Our calling card to the world is love. Right? They will know we are Christians by our love. And so we are first to love God with all our heart and mind and soul, and then our neighbor as ourselves, right? That's what Jesus summarized, the greatest commandment, and the second greatest commandment in the whole Old Testament is summarized by those two commandments. And then so we read, starting in 19, kind of a summary of all that we've talked about for the past month. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. He was our forerunner. We talked about that last week. And behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. And so since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, therefore let us, and here's a command, draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So God has accomplished all of this through our incomparable Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who cleanses us, sprinkles us clean, and symbolically in baptism we've been washed, right? And that reminds us of what God has done for us. So we have that ability to follow Jesus. He's our forerunner for a reason. So we are to follow, to come near, come and spend time with our Lord and Savior. Draw near involves intimacy with Christ. We talk about having a devotional time with the Lord on a regular basis. That's one of the ways that we draw near. We enter into the presence of God. When we worship this morning, we did so in the very presence of God, responding to His holiness as revealed in the Scriptures and creation. And through Jesus Christ, we responded to Him. We drew near as a body, as a congregation, to our loving Lord. And so we're invited right into the very presence of God. Draw near with a true heart. How's your heart this morning? Is it earnest? Is it true? Is it single-focused and minded? Or is it torn between serving the world or money or fame and serving God wholeheartedly? We're to offer a true heart to Him. And if it's not, take care of that, right? God makes it possible through confessing our sin and then renewing that fellowship so we can enter in with a clean conscience to the very presence of our God. Since then, okay, so draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean. And then the next verse, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. We talked about the hope of believers and how it is in God's incontrovertible promises, God's sure hope. Without wavering, it says, hold to a confession of our hope. So this has to do with the church as a whole, the confession, our confession of hope, the doctrine. Hold fast to the doctrine and the teaching of God's word through the body of believers as we are gathered here. Hold fast to it. Don't let go of that and waver away from that confession of hope that you know to be true. Constantly, the world is ripping at us, causing us to really look at what we hold to be true as believers. Am I the only one that you have these things that the world says, well, that was for then, this is for now, you know, and we're redefining things that should not be redefined and causing us to pull away from our confession of hope that we know to be the truth meant for our good and meant for guidance in life. Hold fast to that. Don't get ripped away from it. And then it says, let us consider. So this week I spent a lot of time thinking about that very word. There's nothing very difficult about this verse. You know, we know that the word love, I'll just throw that out there, is the word agape here. Okay, so it's a concern for the good of another. So we're to be concerned for the good of another. And it's an active concern because it's expressed through good works. And so my task this week was, how do I stir us up? Pastor Paul, at one point when he was preaching, he talked about a hype man, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we all had a hype man, you know, to build us up and say, you can do this, right? Well, how do I stir our congregation up to love and good works? My heart was stirred up through the simple things and simple actions of a life dedicated to the service of God. It was a humble thing. It wasn't hype at all, but it was demonstrated love throughout our visit in Bolivia. And so I'll take us back through some of those things here quickly. So the question is, how? How am I to show love? How am I to make disciples? How am I to teach them everything that I've been taught in the scriptures? And it's through creativity, constantly thinking, how can I reach the population that I'm surrounded with? How can I, Cassie Craig is having a prayer time next week after church on Sunday for Northwestern. That's a creative way to get parents together to pray for the school year. That's creativity. The cheese factory was creativity, right? There was the farm was creativity. Go plant churches. I don't immediately think get a farm started. I don't. But God led them. They were listening, and God led them to be creative in those ways. It was beautiful. The cake. This was showing kindness. That's one of Karen's goals in life, is to be kind. She says people don't always get kindness. So if I can be kind, I want to do that. And so she spends some money and some time going and buying these cakes and providing them and helping to cook for the seminary students. The boys that were invited to work and then given a meal afterwards, they were being trained up in work ethic and the beauty of celebrating afterwards together and the fellowship and the conversations they must have as the seminary students are eating have to be part of discipleship in those boys' lives. The tract, so I didn't mention this, but back during a political unrest having to do with Che Guevara, who was apparently lived there in the town of Valle Grande for a period of time in his travels. So he's a villain, but a hero in a lot of ways in the town. And so Bud wrote a tract to go with that, an event commemorating that, and the tract was distributed on behalf, almost as part of the activities that day in the town. And so many, many people got to see how our Savior is a much better solution than any military leader could be. But it was presented in a very creative way. Tracts were also something that they have over the years even distributed from the air to areas that they couldn't stop and share the gospel, because there's a lot of wide open area in Bolivia, and those tracts have borne fruit and provided for a way to start ministries later. Routine time. The end of this passage says, talks about not forsaking meeting together. It says, not neglecting to meet together. So I translated that into the positive side of spend time with others, okay? Spending time with others and encouraging one another. These are ways to show love, to be extraordinary in love. And we saw this lived out in their lives. The towing of the stranger. You ask, who is my neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan comes to mind, right? God is pleased with the one who shows mercy, who spends the time to help in those moments that aren't expected. And then the buying of supplies, the daily grind that all of us have. These are ways that we can show love to others to make their life better. And so I want to hopefully have stirred you up to love and good deeds through this journey. Our journey in Bolivia, we are so, so very thankful. It impacted our lives. It stirred our heart toward the simplicity of living out the gospel and sharing daily life, not just a time at school, but then the meeting times, the eating times, the work times, the travel times. Life is shared in all of that through discipleship. So it's a discipleship institute that they serve in. And I want my life to be shared in that full way. And I encourage and hopefully stir up each one of us to be creative in our own lives. How can I be a whole life lived for the glory of God, even in the daily grind? How does God want to use me? If you think for a moment, just ponder, what names of people come to mind who impacted you as a young kid for the gospel and for Christ? It probably comes down to the guy at church who always had candy in his pocket and would give you a candy, and you looked forward to that every week. Or I think of our ladies who diligently serve coffee every week and have that for those of us who enjoy coffee. Or those unseen things, that kindness, showing kindness, because people don't always get kindness. And I encourage us each to develop those in our life and make them part of our routine, that we might be others-minded, spending time with them, and showing extraordinary love as we've been loved in extraordinary ways. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this example, a longer example, of what it means to love and to do good works and to have a level of sacrifice for others as you have sacrificed your very life that we might live. Thank you for reminding us of that through the book of Hebrews over the last couple of weeks, and also the life of Elijah. We are grateful, and we want to show that gratitude not because we must, but because we want to. We want to show the love of God in this world that needs it. The brokenness we see, you shine when your people reach out. Encourage us to active love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.